done all right for sound?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, good. Thank you, Malcolm, and it's lovely to be with you. Paul talks a lot about the body of Christ in that chapter in Corinthians that we've read, doesn't he? And I always find this idea of the body really helpful in the meeting. That God has placed us in a body where he saw fit. So it's not up to us where we want to put ourselves. God has placed us where he wants us to play our part. And that we're all part of this one body, and that we can look to Jesus as our head. And it teaches lots of very useful spiritual and practical lessons, that there should be unity in the ecclesia, that we're all bound together and we should all help each other. But of course, we're all different, but that's a good thing, that we all have strengths and weaknesses. No one's more important than anyone else. When one part of the ecclesial body suffers, then we all suffer, but we can all be supportive. It gives us a very clear exhortation about the different parts we can all play in the ecclesia. But it did strike me that in these days of the coronavirus epidemic, pandemic, it gives us some difficult new challenges to face, doesn't it, in ecclesial life that we haven't met before. In normal times, this would be a what you might call a very familiar, traditional exhortation, that we all have our different parts to play. Some of us are good at practical things, some of us are good at more intellectual things, some are good at caring for brethren and sisters, visiting, giving lifts, giving hospitality, looking after food or drink. Some are good at looking after the hall or the finances or organizing things. Some are good at speaking. Some are better at listening. Saying the right thing at the right time. Giving a hand or a hug or a smile or a cup of tea at just the right moment when it's needed. So we're so used to those things normally, aren't we? But I don't know how it is for you and those of you in Darlington Ecclesia, but it seems to me that it's harder at the moment, because some of those things that we're so used to as members of the Ecclesia day to day, that make us feel those strong bonds in the body of Christ, we're not doing quite a lot of them. Normally we're so used to seeing each other very frequently. We visit each other, we give each other a helping hand, or a hug, or a kiss, or a friendly word. We make the hall nice, we make the food nice, so that our meetings are uplifting. And I think there is a danger that if we're not doing some of these things, that it might make us feel on a day-to-day basis that some of the ligaments and the joints that hold the body together might seem a little bit weaker for some of us. But maybe we can get a very positive exhortation from Paul, which is just what we need for these times, for today. Because when you think about it, the circumstances that Paul was in are quite relevant to what we're experiencing now. Paul is always very mindful of all the brethren and sisters in all the different ecclesias. But he couldn't actually be with them in person to strengthen them, to see them, to talk to them, to embrace them and to encourage them. He had to rely always on sending letters and messages to reinforce the fellowship of the body, which is what he was doing in Corinthians. Using the idea of the body is ideal, isn't it? Reinforcing to the early disciples that although they were separate and they were different and they were quite remote, they were all parts of that one whole. Like us, some of us may feel we're a bit more separate at the moment and a bit more remote than we would like to be. So we have to be even more mindful that we are part of that one body of Christ. There are some good things, of course, about what we are experiencing at the moment. Although it might be danger, there might be the danger of locally feeling those bonds are less strong. I mean, if you take the example of us here in Morpeth Ecclesia, you know, take the same figure, if we're like a hand in the body of Christ, but we don't see each other day by day like we used to, we may be less conscious of the strong bonds that bind us together as part of that one hand. But with things like Zoom, most brothers and sisters, I think, are more aware of the bonds and the links with the wider body. So that's a great thing. Here we are at Darlington. We often join Wardley. We took our sister Maureen to Worcester Ecclesia last Sunday because she doesn't have a computer, and we enjoyed fellowship with them. And many of our members in Morpeth are going to other ecclesias for Sundays, for Bible classes, for studies, and for fraternals. So there are positive aspects of being able to see ourselves as part of the wider body of Christ. But I do think that we have to make extra efforts to strengthen the bonds locally, which could be weakened or feel weaker for some. Back to Paul. He was able, by being mindful of all the brothers and sisters, wherever they were, to write to them and to strengthen them as parts of the body. And so surely we can learn from Paul. He talks a lot about the body, not just in this chapter 12 we read. He talks about it in chapters 10 and 11 too. It's quite a theme that he's been dealing with. In chapter 10 he said, "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For thee, we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." So he was reinforcing the unity and the purity of the body. And then in chapter 11, when Paul talks about the breaking of bread, he talks about the body again. "He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And he helps us to see the wonderful depth of meaning which is associated with this idea of the body of Christ, I think. On one hand, that verse is talking again about the body as being the church. And Paul was telling the disciples in Corinth, and he's telling us, that we have to come to the breaking of bread in a seemly and a reverent manner, mindful of the privilege that we have in meeting together as part of the body of Christ. But Paul had also just reminded them of what Jesus had said when we share the bread together. "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The bread was given us to remind us of the physical body of the Lord Jesus, which he gave as a sacrifice for us, for our sins. As it says in Hebrews, we have all been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So Paul is showing us that the body has both those meanings. The physical body of our Lord given in sacrifice so that we can be forgiven and made acceptable before him. And then, if we are acceptable before him and reconciled to him, we can share in the blessings of being part of his spiritual body, the church. The other thing that struck me in thinking about the exhortation we can get from Paul is what he says right at the beginning of chapter 11 in Corinthians. Paul has said there, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." There are not many people who could ever have said that, are there? But Paul can. And I think that certainly applies when we think about Paul's teaching about the body. I'd never really realise, I don't think, how much Paul used this idea of the body in his letters and his teaching. It was obviously really important for Paul and central to his thinking, perhaps not surprising given the role he had to play in strengthening the body. As well as these chapters in Corinthians that we've been reading, he uses the theme of the body earlier in Corinthians, and he uses it in his letter to Romans and Ephesians and Colossians on many occasions. Can we go to Colossians for a minute, please? Colossians chapter 2, first, please. Colossians chapter 2 and read verse 19. Holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. And that's just what we want, isn't it? We want to grow as parts of the body, looking to our head, held together by joints and ligaments, and we're seeking the nourishment that comes from God. Now, if you go back to Colossians chapter 1, please, and you read from verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And that's what Paul was talking about in Corinthians, wasn't it? Jesus gave us the body of his flesh as a sacrifice so that we can be forgiven, we can be acceptable before God, and then we're blessed with being allowed to take our place as part of his spiritual body, the church, looking to him as our head. And then we come to what Paul was saying about imitating Christ. If you read verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Just as Jesus gave his physical body as a sacrifice for the church and for us, so Paul was seeking to follow the example of Jesus and to dedicate his own body in self-sacrifice to the service of the body. And Paul certainly did that in his life, didn't he? When we think of what he went through for the sake of the body. And in the end, he gave all. It cost him his life. And can we go to Romans, please? Romans chapter 12. And see what Paul said there. Romans 12 and verse 4, first of all, he again reinforces this idea of the unity of the body. For as we, having many members in one body, but all the members that do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Then read verse 1, please. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just as Jesus gave his physical body as a sacrifice, acceptable before God, Paul was seeking to imitate the Lord Jesus in giving his body in service and sacrifice. And here Paul is telling us that we too should imitate him and dedicate our bodies as living sacrifices to doing God's will and be transformed to be part of the spiritual body. As Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We have to, as it were, sacrifice our lives to follow the Lord Jesus. So now as we turn to the breaking of bread, remembering what Paul said in Corinthians, how can we be imitators of Paul and imitators of the Lord Jesus? How can we be strengthened and nourished as part of the body of Christ? If it seems too daunting sometimes, as it can, I think, that we could even try to be like Jesus, maybe at least we can try to imitate Paul. He lived in very difficult circumstances, but he gave his whole life to following Jesus and to serving the body of Christ. Paul has taught us that we have to dedicate our lives, our physical bodies, in self-sacrifice to our Father and to the church like he did, even in circumstances where you have to do it remotely. Paul couldn't see his brothers and sisters every day. He couldn't visit them, but he never forgot them, did he? It wasn't a case of out of sight, out of mind with Paul. He was mindful of them every day. He prayed for them. He wrote to them. He sent messengers, answered their questions, told them what to do about problems. Even though he was remote, he still managed to organize the welfare arrangements and the collections. It didn't stop Paul managing to look after other members in the body of Christ and showing he cared. So even if for us, if we're a bit more remote and we have to try harder to find the right words, right way to serve our brethren and sisters in the body, it shouldn't stop us serving the body and our brethren and sisters. So our exhortation is to try and do what Paul said in Corinthians, to follow his example, just as he tried to follow the example of Jesus and give our lives in sacrifice. But I think it's right that we also think about Paul's own conclusion after what he'd said about the body in chapter 12. At the very end of chapter 12, he said, "I show you a more excellent way." And then as we've read in chapter 13, he went on to say, "Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So Paul knew that dedicating all his bodily efforts and giving up his body in self-sacrifice, it wasn't just a matter of duty and hard work. It had to be done in love for his Heavenly Father and for the Lord Jesus and for his brothers and sisters. And what Paul then goes on to say in chapter 13 seems to me to give us the ideal template of how we should behave as parts of the body. If we put these things into practice in our lives and as seeking to be faithful and effective parts of the body, we would do well, wouldn't we? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we want to follow the example of Paul, and he showed that love in his life, didn't it? His love for the Lord Jesus and his love for the other members of the body. But even more, we want to try and follow the example of the Lord Jesus. And we know that it was because of our Lord's love for us that he was prepared to give his body, his whole life, as a sacrifice for us, that we might be saved and that we might be sanctified as parts of his body. And when we come together now as parts of that body, we remember his words This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. Thank you.
Thank you indeed.